I'm going to tell you the best podcasts for financial advisor prospecting coming right up. Hey, what's up, financial advisors? Sarah back, and welcome to the show. On this podcast, I discuss financial advisor lead generation tactics. I am a CFA charterholder, and I used to be a financial advisor. I'm the badass and the best, and I'm better than the rest. So forget about them. Hallelujah. Amen. Click the subscribe, financial advisors. Let's ride. In today's show, I'm going to be talking about the best podcast episodes of 2020 that I created on this podcast on the subject of financial advisor prospecting. So if you've been tuning in and you've caught these, then you should re-listen to these episodes if you want to learn how to get better at prospecting and you are a financial advisor. And if you missed these episodes, then it would be great for you to go back and review them. I'm making this podcast in the middle of December, and maybe perhaps over the holidays, you may have some downtime. I myself have four children under 7 years old, and I have no downtime ever. So maybe if you're in that category, then possibly not. But I hope you aren't, because, you know, everybody needs a little bit of a break sometimes. Not all of us get it. Okay, y'all. So before I get into it and talk about the five best podcasts of 2020 that I did on this show about financial advisor prospecting, I want to just talk for a minute about my book, which is called Financial Advisor LinkedIn Messages and Sequences That Will Not Make You Look Stupid. Now, I wrote this ebook, and actually Bob Veras reviewed it for his publication Inside Information. And Bob Veras said, quote, "I found the messages to be interesting and valuable in themselves, but I also got more comfortable with the whole idea of social media marketing by reading through the general advice that Grillo offered about the social media ecosystem," unquote. Thank you, Bob Veras. So this book has definitely been helpful to many people, and there are no guarantees that it will be helpful to you, but I will tell you the reason that it has been, and it's that every message in this book is two sentences or shorter. So there are 47 LinkedIn messages that you can send to prospects, and they're all two sentences long or shorter. And that's really important, because if you're going to go on, you can count on nobody wanting to deal with you. And especially that's true over social media. So if you have not yet checked out the book, I encourage you to do so. You can download the link, and I will put it in the show notes below. Purchase the ebook if you want to learn how to prospect on LinkedIn. Now, for the actual show today, the first podcast that I want to discuss is a podcast I made called Is Your Elevator Pitch Crap? Now, a lot of you are still kind of at a loss for words when you're questioned about what to say and when you're asked about what you do as a financial advisor. Now, I'll tell you that you'll be very helped by understanding that the objective of your quote unquote elevator pitch isn't to barf information on them and to establish credibility and to make them want to get a meeting with you. The point is not even to let them know what you do and how you can help them. Okay. The actual point, this is so weird. Okay. I'm going to tell you this is weird, but I want you to just kind of listen to me for a second, then I'll explain why. The point is to get them to respond. The point is to get the person you are talking to respond. And the reason is that with all of the information that gets barfed on people, if you just have one interaction or you just kind of spew that information out, chances are it's going to get lost on them. And they may remember that you mentioned it in a fleeting moment, but you'd be lucky if that happened. It probably would not happen. You much more increase the likelihood of them remembering what you do for a living if you actually have some kind of a dialogue or a conversation about it. And even bonus points will be awarded if you can somehow get the person to discuss something that is a real challenge to them. If you can somehow get them to talk about something in their life, now you're getting to the point of having it more permanently in their mind. Okay, so if you want to just kind of throw that information out there, understand that you're kind of throwing the information just out into the atmosphere. And it's just going to circulate around like the air, okay? And you don't want them to do that. You want to get them to gulp it down. But how do you get them to really gobble it up? You got to make it last to them. You got to make it real to them. It's not going to be real to them unless it is about them. Okay, so let me go over a phrase that I've repeated in my ebook, and then I repeat a lot in my writings, and it's them, not you. Them, not you. Them, not you. The communication has to be about them, even though you're the one saying it. It has to evoke their thinking about themselves, not about you. And if you're able to do that, this is so the opposite of everything that you've taught. I understand. And it's okay. You're listening to this podcast now. Maybe you didn't find me until now, but that's okay. We found each other, okay? I'm here to show you the way. Now, them, not you. Two-sentence elevator pitch. Listen to how to create one of them. I'm going to put the show notes in the show notes. I'm going to put this link to my podcast called Is Your Elevator Pitch Crap? Now, the second podcast that is highly effective is going to help you be more effective with financial advisor prospecting is called This Financial Advisor is Kicking Ass with COIs. This was a podcast that I did with my friend, Matthew Jarvis. What's up, Matthew, if you're listening to this podcast? Thank you so much for the great show, by the way. So what Matthew and I talked about was the fact that financial advisors, y'all are just wasting so much of your time and energy on COIs and especially those CPAs. And to be honest with you, I think it's a shame. I think it's a waste of time for the CPAs. I think it's a waste of time for you. There's just a lot of times, not a lot of productive activity that comes out of these financial advisor prospecting moves that you're making with these CPAs. They've heard it all before. They're jaded. They're tired of it. You understand that these CPAs are like literally sitting there laughing every time one of you approaches them. And it's because they're so highly coveted that they could just make a living out of sitting there and collecting dinner invitations at Ruth Chris. And y'all financial advisors are wasting your hard-earned money. And at the end of the dinner at Ruth Chris Steakhouse, when you pay for the steak and the wine and whatever other things, I mean, who knows if anyone's even actually doing that anyways. I know in some part of the United States, people can actually socialize like normal. But here in New York, for example, we're still locked down. Like, it's not even funny, okay? It's not that fun living here right now, but we survive. But anyways, what I'm saying is at the end of the dinner, y'all financial advisors probably have a higher likelihood of getting some business out of the bartender than you do out of the CPA. And it's just because y'all are entirely approaching this the wrong way. And Matthew has some great advice and great tips. I encourage you to check out the podcast. I'm going to also link this one in the show notes below. The third podcast, two-sentence financial advisor LinkedIn scripts. Now, this is one of mine, just me on this podcast episode. And I talk about applying the two-sentence rule to your LinkedIn prospecting if you're a financial advisor. This is really important because you understand when prospects see a lengthy communication or when anybody sees a lengthy communication, like I want you to just think about the last time you saw a really long email in your inbox. And what did you think? You thought to yourself, there's no way I'm going to deal with this right now. Isn't that true? Right? Yes. And so when a prospect doesn't know you, that impact, that effect is magnified. That when you type out a long message to somebody over email or over LinkedIn, and it's more than two sentences, I would say that you have almost no likelihood of the person actually responding. I see this all the time. So I created out of the necessity of having a very hectic and chaotic life, what I call the two sentence rule. The two sentence rule basically goes like this. The first sentence is clarifying information. And then the second sentence is either a command or a question. So it came about because in my life, as you know, I have four very young children. At this point, they are, let's see, 1, 3, 4, and 6 years old. And so I'm always kind of running around and you can imagine what dinner time and what bedtime is like. I mean, y'all that have kids or even grandchildren, you know what it's like to get your kids to calm down at dinner time, right? Like this is probably the point for every parent in the day when I think this is the hardest point in the day for most of us parents. And it really came out of that, to be honest with you, because I was just faced with all the time extreme adversity. And I just found myself eventually because I want to be more effective communicating with them and to get them to what I wanted them to do, instead of going on and on and lecturing or providing scattered information or not providing them with enough information, I created this kind of format where it was like, I would tell them a statement and then I would follow it up with a command or a question. So for example, an example of the two sentence rule would be something like, please stop splashing that water out of the bathtub. Do you want your feet to get wet and cold when you get out? Or, now that is your brother's Peppa Pig doll. Please give it back to him. That is another example of the two sentence rule. It's not just about the length of the communication though. It's also about what you say in the communication. And in my ebook, I talk a little bit more about making the LinkedIn message about them instead of about you. Now that's a very general statement. I'm giving you very general guidance on that. If you want to know specifically how to do that, then you should definitely check out the ebook. And like I mentioned, it's in the show notes below. But also listen to the podcast if you want to get the two sentence rule going on. Not only works over LinkedIn, it also is very effective over email. I know some of you are still doing cold email messages. The fourth podcast is called Having Fun Drives Down the Cost of a Financial Advisor Lead. And so in this podcast, I interviewed Josh Scandlin. Josh is a YouTube personality and a financial advisor. Josh and I discussed how he created a marketing asset, which is his YouTube channel. And at first, you know, he created it from nothing. And as time went on, he was able to find a way to get leads very inexpensively because the value of this marketing asset had increased so much because he had made his YouTube channel get so much visibility. It's not an easy thing to do. It involved to some extent having very good results in YouTube search and getting found for key terms. He spoke a lot about Social Security and the viewers really liked his content, but most of all, Josh was very authentic. For those of you that are producing content on the internet, know that your personality really does matter. And people have said to Josh before, and actually people have said this to me too, that they feel like when they're listening to me on my podcast or when they're listening to me or watching me on YouTube, that they feel like they're sitting right there in the living room with me. And I think that's because of my personality, but also Josh has kind of the same thing. And I think a big thing that's made Josh a success and made him able to have this, get all this attention on YouTube, is the fact that he is so relatable. There's a delicate line though, or it's a, you know, you want to really be careful with that because you don't want to, yeah, but you have to do it in the right way. You don't want to let too much out and then you've offended people or you've compromised your credibility. However, I think that I think credibility is really a relative term. I mean, I've gone out there and definitely done some things on YouTube. I mean, to be honest with you, to that attracted a lot of attention. And the reason I was able to be effective in having that create momentum for my business was that the value of what I was saying with that content was so high that, you know, the like crazy stuff actually helped me to get the attention. And then once I captured their attention, I delivered just such powerful content to them that was so useful and relevant and practical that it kind of all worked, you know? So if you're kind of, you know, if you're being relatable and being cool and doing attention grabbing stuff, but that's all that you're doing, what I'm trying to say is that if there's no value there with your content, then people aren't really gonna see much credibility in you as a financial advisor. However, if you're doing crazy stuff, and by the way, I'm not saying that Josh does crazy stuff. I was just discussing my own behavior on YouTube, for example. If you are out there and you're creating such valuable messaging for people and they're really understanding and using that information and it's changing their lives, then you certainly have a little bit more leverage in terms of being able to come across as, you know, not always having to be so uptight and boring. The last podcast is LinkedIn prospecting messages and sequences that get financial advisor leads. So in this podcast, I don't actually disclose any messages, any LinkedIn messages. And that is because the LinkedIn messages are my exclusive content. I sell it in my ebook. And I also provide those to people on my membership and people who are my clients. So there are unfortunately no LinkedIn messages in this particular podcast, but I do explain the methodology behind creating, for example, a LinkedIn sequence that works. And I also talk about the kind of approach you should be taking when you're trying to prospect and get new leads over LinkedIn if you are a financial advisor. So, making it happen. How do you make it all happen? Financial advisor prospecting. How is it successful? How does a financial advisor actually find new clients using the internet? Well, I actually have another ebook that I wrote, and it's called A Financial Advisor Marketing Plan That Won't Stress You Out. And I'm going to actually include that in the link as well. Believe it or not, you don't have to be doing a million things to get good traction on the internet. Because understand that Google is very specific. You would be way more well invested in terms of your time if you were to just take a certain narrow focus and just really hunker down on that. So for example, if you're writing about capital gains taxes in the state of Nebraska, it should be, how do you sell a house? And what the titles of your blogs or your videos or your podcasts or whatever, your content, okay, would be something like, how do you sell, what taxes will you pay if you sell a house in the state of Nebraska? And then another blog should be an overview of Nebraska capital gains tax laws. And then a third one would be something like, is Nebraska a good state in terms of capital gains taxes? Like, you see what I'm saying? I'm really dancing around the same topic. And you may even notice that I do this with my own content. I mean, how many podcasts do I have about LinkedIn messaging for financial advisors? It's like, it's, you know, it's now getting ridiculous, but I mean, you know, if you want Google to understand that you're the authority, then you have to produce this content. It has to be valuable, and you have to simply retain people on the page. You have to find some way to make people stay on the page. And even better, if you can make them stay on the page and then go to a similar blog or a similar content piece that you've written on the same subject. See, so it really all goes together. As I've journeyed through my own Google adventures, and I've done this on behalf of my clients, the more that I see the light of day, and what I believe that to be is that Google is not going to reward you for knowing a little bit about everything. Let me repeat that. You do not have to be the Renaissance man or woman on Google. Your approach should be to really hone in and provide value way above what the competition is doing on one or maybe two topics. And those should be expressed clearly with keywords. This does get very specific. And so the words do matter. The words you use in your titling and in your SEO optimization for these pieces, it's of the highest importance. So that's how you would kind of funnel in if you were trying to collect leads through communication, through content. Now, if you were trying to do this through communications, if you were trying to just build prospects and build your pipeline through communicating with people using the internet, I would check out the social media messaging apps. Like Facebook has messaging. You can message people over Facebook. You can message people over LinkedIn. I always suggest a low frequency but high personalized attention approach. I think if you're trying to reach affluent people, that is really the only way to go. So I do get people though that come to me and say, well, there was this automated service or that automated service that was going to send out 500 messages a day. Good. You know what? Then go do that service. I mean, I'm going to tell you right now that if you're doing that, you can possibly use my highly personalized messages in concert with those connections after you make the connections, but I'm not advocating for using a low personalization, high frequency approach after the first connection. And even at that, if somebody connects with you on the premise of whatever it is that you said in a very unpersonalized message, then I still think that you're starting off on the wrong foot with that person, and that your chances of success getting them as a real prospect or getting a lead from them, like, I don't really see it. I just think that's entirely the wrong foot to start off on. I think you're coming across as most other financial advisors are, and your biggest enemy is, outside of just being invisible and not getting in touch with anybody at all, your biggest enemy is appearing like the typical financial advisor. I think that's probably the worst thing that you can do. And so I think that these automated services are probably doing people more of a disservice than a service in the long run. And I think most people eventually come to that conclusion. So if you're reaching out using communications, then I believe that a low frequency, high value, high personalization, highly personalized approach is going to work best with affluent people. Because, I mean, you know, like, I could probably be a qualified prospect for, I believe, most of you. And I'm going to tell you that just like you, and I think a lot of you could actually even possibly be qualified prospects for your own practices, right? Yeah, you could, right? So I think that for a lot of you, it's the same thing where, I mean, how do you feel when somebody reaches out with a LinkedIn message and you just have no idea if they even know who you are, if they even looked at you for 1 second? Think about it. And there's a whole process that you have to have set up. There are some basic points to a marketing plan. And I cover that in my book, A Financial Advisor Marketing Plan That Won't Stress You Out. This is of critical importance if you're going to be using the internet. If you're going to be doing any financial advisor prospecting over the internet, then you really do have to go ahead and set up the system correctly. So check out the ebooks, they're both in the links below. And please don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review this podcast. And I will see you in the next one.